Tonight, don't look at your notes yet. I don't want you to read ahead of me and get done before I do, okay? I can't get up and run around. I was preaching in St. Louis a couple of years ago, and one of the boys that used to come to camp, he said after the service, he said, "I noticed you don't run around like you used to." I said, "No, sir, it takes too long to get back." And so I don't run around at all. I sit while I can. And I want to thank the church for the pastor for inviting me. And what a pleasure it's always be to me to come be here with you. I want to thank the Higbees, right? Did I get Higbees first a good meal today? The only thing was that he was embarrassing the daylights out of me. He was helping his wife. And I said, "Man, I said you're ruining me, because I don't do that." I never forget one time I was eating with a family, going home to eat with a family, and the fellow he was helping in the kitchen like he was doing, and they had the little boy left me in the. That's back when I was a bachelor, left me in the living room with their little boy, him to entertain me. Pretty soon I couldn't think of anything to say. Finally, I said, "Son, I said, what are we going to have for dinner?" Said, "Well," said, "Dad said this morning we might as well have that old buzzard." He said, "Buzzard?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Mom and Dad wants to have the old buzzard for dinner. They was calling me the buzzard." I want to get serious tonight on about. Several years ago, in fact, it's been nearly 40 years ago. Some of you are old enough maybe to remember a movie that came out. I never went to see it, but a movie came out called The Exorcist. Does anybody remember that? And I was preaching a conference in Illinois, S.M. Davis's father-in-law, Ray Ditch, and I was staying in their home. Well, Brother Ray and I were discussing the film, the movie, and how the devil has taken over a lot of things. And about midnight, we were still talking. He said, "Brother Halford," he said, "I prayed a prayer 6 months ago that like to scared me to death." And he said, "Not only did it scare me, but he said, never has I and my church had as many problems as we've faced in the last 6 months. But at the same time," he said, "never has our church experienced as many victories." And I said, what was it you prayed?" He said, "I prayed, Lord, make my church, me and my church's name known in hell." And I thought, boy, that's strange. But the thing of it is, if the devil doesn't know who you are, you're not doing anything for God. And so that's why I want to preach tonight is how to make your name known in hell. If you want to make your name known in hell, you're going to have to do something that the devil becomes aware of who you are and the damage that you're doing to him and his kingdom. That night I went to bed a little after midnight. And this thought kept running through my mind. I thought, "Lord, this thing is biblical. But I don't have a scripture." And finally, a little after 2 o'clock, God led me to the book of Acts. You have your paper there. It's already written out for you. Book of Acts chapter 19. I began to read, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcist." And I stopped. I said, "That's it. That's it. Exorcist took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sevilla, a Jew, and chief of the priests, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? I want you to notice the rest of that verse. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house, naked and wounded. I want you to stop and think for a moment tonight. Our nation tonight, in the trouble it's in, is because our churches as a whole has failed to make their name known in hell. The better your name known in hell, the more power we have in this nation to stop sin. I want you to understand that tonight. I remember as a kid growing up on Wednesday night, you never had to worry about a ball game taking the place of church. The church in that day ruled what went on in the community, but not today. Never had a ball game at the school on Sunday night or on Sunday because Sunday belonged to the church. Back then, hell knew who we were, and they were working overtime to try to stop. I want you to know, said Jesus I know and Paul I know, but I've never heard of you. I want to ask the question tonight, does the devil know who you are? Does the devil know you exist? Has he ever heard of your name? I'm asking you tonight, and I'm asking myself, I'm putting myself in the same category. Does the devil know who I am, and have I caused enough problem for him to be bothered by hearing my name? Remember Paul. When Paul, before he got saved, the church was scared to death. Paul had a terrible reputation. But whenever he got saved, his reputation was switched from the fear of the Christian to the fear of the devil. The devil became afraid of Paul. I believe every morning when Paul got up out of bed, up and down the corridors of hell, you'd hear the demons say, Paul's getting up, Paul's getting up, get ready. Because everybody knew in hell that Paul was going to do some more damage that day to the kingdom of the devil. The question is, how do you get your name known in hell? First of all, you must get saved. You must be saved and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if the devil can keep a lost person from getting saved, he knows you'll never give him any trouble. He'll never have to be afraid of you. I think of an old black boy one time, and his master was going duck hunting. And the old black boy says, you know, master, he said, it just seems like the devil bothers me all the time. And the black man's master said, that's strange. He said, I'm a Christian too, but he said, it never bothers me. Black boy said, well, I don't understand that, why he bothers me and not you. About that time, they walked up over the bank of the lake, and the lake was covered with duck. They'd be leveled their guns and began to shoot until they ran out of ammunition. But several of the duck that was wounded were still out in the lake, and he had plunged in the water, began to throw the dead ones out. And the boss stopped and said, hey, black boy, whatever you do, he said, leave the dead ones alone. He said, get a hold of the live ones. The old black boy stopped. He said, now I know, master, why the devil won't bother you. He said, you're dead. If you want God to use you and want the devil to fear you, and then you need to make you must make your name known in hell by the fact that you've changed families. I said by the fact that you changed families. I remember back nearly 40 years ago, a little over 40 years ago, I had a television program. And I remember at that time Kirksville had four hospitals, the Grimm Smith Hospital, KOH Hospital, there was the Grimm Smith Hospital, and then Laughlin Hospital had another branch hospital. I got the place that I made I went to every room in all four hospitals at least once a week if I was home. I saw on an average 1 to 7 people get saved every time I made the visits. The nurses got where that they knew, they got so acquainted with me that they would go, when they saw me walk in, they'd run to me and said, I want you to go to such and such a room and try to win this person to Christ. And I remember one day a little nurse ran to me. She said, Brother Halford, she said, you've got to go to room so-and-so. I said, the man is old. He's not going to make it. And he's not saved. He claims to be an atheist. Would you go see him? I said, yes, I would. I remember I walked in the room. I started to introduce myself. He said, you don't have to introduce. I know who you are. He said, I watch you every Sunday. I said, I talked to him a little bit. And I said, sir, I'd like to ask you the question. If you was to die right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? I said, have you been saved? He said, no, sir. No, sir, I haven't. And usually when they say no, I usually ask the question, why? What's holding you back? He looked at me and he said, I like to tell yarns. And I don't know if you know what a yarn is, but that means you tell lies. I said, sir, when he said that, I said, sir, I understand. I said, What your problem is, I said, you belong to the wrong family. I said, your family is a family of liars. He looked at me kind of funny, and I said, I quoted to him the book of St. John, the 8th chapter, verse 44, but you are of your father, the devil. And I said, sir, what you need to do is change families, get into the family of God. And tears began to run down his cheeks, and I had the privilege of leading that man to Jesus Christ. First of all, you need to get your name known in hell by getting saved. The devil gets you get his attention that way. Turn into the next page, and I want us to notice the next thing you do after you get saved. Now, I know I'm preaching some very simple things here tonight, but I even though they may be simple, they're extremely important. The second thing I want you to notice, you not only need to be saved, but you need to get baptized. Peter said in the book of Acts chapter 32 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and what? Be baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save you. After you get saved, then you get baptized to let the world know whose side you're on. Did you hear what I just said? You get baptized to let the devil know that you're not on his side anymore. And you're publicly admitting this. I've had people say, well, Brother Halford, I haven't been baptized because, you see, I haven't felt led to. And I said, sir, God didn't say wait till you get led to. He said, repent and be baptized. That's a command. Right. A church one time had just hired a new pastor, and they was excited about him. And he got up every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and preached on baptism. I mean, the people said we didn't know there was so much in the Bible about baptism. So they went to him, the deacon went to him and said, sir, I thank you for the messages. Man, you've done a tremendous job. We didn't know there's that much about baptism. Can you preach on something else tonight? And the pastor said, oh, sure. He said, you tell me what you want to preach on. I'll preach on it tonight. He said, well, there's a scripture that says, and they laid the axe to the root of the tree. He said, would you preach on that? He said, yes, sir. Big crowd came out that night expecting a new message. And he got up and read the scripture. He said, now, folks, he said, I studied this thing all afternoon. He said, the only thing I can figure out that is clearing the brush away from the riverbank, getting ready for a baptism. Now, I don't preach on baptism a whole lot, but I want to tell you something. It's extremely important. Be saved, baptized. The next thing is, it's a very simple thing, join the church. And I have a lot of people say, well, Brother Halford, there's nowhere in the Bible that it says to join the church. I said, are you reading the same Bible I have? Where does God talk about joining the church? I want you to notice what he says in Matthew 5, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a what? Candlestick. I want you to notice Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20 explains what the candlestick is. In Revelation 1:20, it said, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, all the angels, or the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the what? Are what? Where did God say put your light when you get saved? On the candlestick or in the church. Because he'll give your life will give a much brighter light and a greater testimony to the community if you do this. I think of a couple lawyers one time that grew up together, and they parted their ways after they had finished law school. Both of them had gone to the same church. And when several years later, they saw each other and they were discussing their religion. And one of them said, "I'll bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." The other said, "I'll bet you $20 I do." Sounded like a Baptist, didn't it? He said, "I bet you $20 I do." And the other one said, "Put your money where your mouth is." And he said, "I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before awake," and the other one said, hold it, "here's your $20. I've seen deacons look at me after I say that, and they say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" And then I say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." A lot of people don't know the difference between the Lord's Prayer and a child's prayer. I will say this, that is not the Lord's Prayer, that is the prayer that the Lord set as an example for us to pray. And that leads me into the next thing I want you to notice. Not only join the church and be baptized, but now then I want you to notice the next important thing to get your name known in hell is to study the Word of God. Now, why is it important to study the Word of God? Can you imagine a man going into warfare never training, never reading the handbook on warfare? He ain't going to last long, is he? The Bible is our instruction book of how to handle the devil. It's our instruction book for victory in our life. And if you don't know how to have, if you don't have victory in your life, it's because you're not following the instruction book. I think of an old black preacher, great preacher, but he had two ornery boys in the church that caught him not looking one Sunday morning and glued some of the pages together. He got up and he said, "Now, this morning I'm going to preach from the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And he opened up the verse, said, "And Noah took him a wife, and as he turned it over and said, she was 50 cubits wide. She was made of gopher wood, and she was pitched within and pitched without." He said, "Now, folks," he said, "I would never believe that it had not been God said it." Now, you got to make sure your pages are not stuck together. My tongue's starting a little stick in my mouth, I tell you. But anyway, we need to know the Word of God. Now, why is it so important? If you don't know the Word of God, you won't know the promises of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you will not even know how to pray or talk to God. I have been in services where I've heard deacons say, "Lord, don't let our family be a broken family around the white throne judgment of God." And I said, "Oh God, thank you that you understand what they mean, not what they say. You don't want your family around the white throne judgment of God, because that is a judgment for lost people and lost people only. You want your family at the judgment seat of Christ. And all of us will appear one day at the judgment. If you're saved, you'll appear at the judgment seat of Christ. But my friend, today, without the study of the Word of God, you'll not know how to pray. You won't know how to put your life together. And today, the devil doesn't want you to study the Word of God, because he knows if you study, he'll do everything he can to keep you out of the Word of God. One of the greatest battles that I have is study the Bible. If the devil could, if there's ever a time that the devil will give me, if you ever forget something that you know you're supposed to do and can't remember what it is, start to pray or start to read the Bible. The devil reminds you of it every time to get you away from the Word of God. This morning I hit it just a little bit on the promises of God. I often hear people say, "But boy, I have prayed and prayed for burdens, and I just don't get a burden for souls." Now, I want to remind you, you don't get a burden for lost souls by praying for a burden. Did you get what I just said? You don't get a burden for lost souls by praying for a burden. How do you get a burden for lost souls? As a Christian, you have a responsibility to pray for certain people. If you have a family, it's your responsibility every day to bring your family's name before the throne of grace. You hear me? If you're a Sunday school teacher, it's your responsibility to pray for that Sunday school class by name for every person in your Sunday school class. And then you need to pray for those that are a prospect for your Sunday school class. If you don't do that, you'll never get a burden. You get a burden by praying, being faithful to pray for those that God told you to pray for. You say, "But Lord, I don't have a burden for them." Listen to me, friends. I guarantee you, if you start praying for the people you're responsible for, you'll soon get a burden. One of the things I've learned, that praying for people that even I don't like will cause me to start loving them. I had this illustrated to me as a high school boy. I was a senior in high school. Some of you didn't think I even went through high school, but I did. Didn't learn much, but I went through high school. And that year, I only needed a fourth of a credit to graduate. I had to go a whole year to get the one-fourth credit. And so I took several other credits. And one of them was English. I hated English with a passion. And I felt almost the same way about my teacher. She was ugly. I mean, she was redheaded and almost bald-headed. And she bugged me to no end. And finally, after a few weeks, I went to the principal, Alvin Rainey, and never forget, he was a Sunday school teacher at a Baptist church. A man of God. I said, "Alvie," I said, I don't have to have English this year. It's his fourth year of English. I said, "I know I need it, but I said, I don't have to have it to graduate. I want to drop the class." I never forget, Alvie looked at me and he said, "Brother Boyd, you're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I want to ask you to do something." He said, "Go home tonight, and before you go to bed, get on your knees and pray for Mrs. Freeman." And I thought, "I don't want to pray for her." But that night, I remembered my promise that I would pray for Mrs. Freeman. And that night, when I come to her name, I didn't want to mention her name to God. I didn't like her. But I prayed. I said, "God, be with Mrs. Freeman. And Lord, you know I don't like her, but Lord, I know you love her. And I'd ask you, Lord, to bless her." You know, the next morning I got up, and the first thing I thought about Mrs. Freeman, I can't quit. I went back to class that morning. I sat on the front row, purposely. I sat on the front row. Who was the teacher's pet the rest of the year? Me. That after that first class, after that, I went to Mr. Rainey. I said, "Rainey, it worked." I said, I love this lady," and we became best of friends. God, because I prayed for her, put a love in my heart. I didn't love her when I prayed for her, but God said, "Pray for those that are your enemies." Now then, the devil don't want you to do that because he knows if you don't pray for lost people, you won't love them. And if you don't love them, you won't care about their soul going to hell. at Miela Street. And believe it or not, I'm about done. Boy, are you glad. Years ago, been almost 40 years ago, had a man that had caused me so much grief. And I'll be honest with you, I got to the place. And at this time, I was pastoring a church. I had over 400 that I prayed for by name at that time. You say, well, how do you pray every day for 400? It's really quite easy. And it doesn't take that long. Let me illustrate. We had a man in a church where I used to pastor. We would have testimony meeting once in a while. And every time this man would get up and testify, he would end this testimony by saying this. He said, when you get real close to God, he said, would you mention my name? Would you mention my name? And I would take that over 400 people on my prayer list, and I go down and I said, Lord, be with John and Deanie. And I go on down the list, and I could pray for high as 50, 60, 70 people in 1 minute. You say, what good's that? I'm being faithful to ask God to bless those people. Many a night I would go down those lists and not feel a burden for anybody. And then maybe one night I'd be going down the list and all of a sudden I'd come to Miss Daisy. And God said, she needs help. And I'd feel a burden for her and I'd begin to pray just for her. And find out later she was going through a trial. You see, you don't get a burden by asking for a burden. God can only give you a burden when you are faithful to do what he asks you to do. You follow me tonight? Like I said, there was a man that gave me a lot of heartaches. And I got the place, I hate to say it, but I hated the man. I actually, if somebody would have told me during his time that he died and gone to hell, I don't think I would have cared because it caused me so heartache. And one night I was praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I want you to pray for BJ. I said, Lord, you know, I hate that man. God said, I want you to pray for him. And I said, okay, but I didn't want to. And so night after night, I'd come down the list, and I'd come to BJ's name, and I'd bristle. I said, Lord, be with BJ. I'm doing what you told me to do, but you know I don't like him. This went on for several months. I prayed for him faithfully every night. I'd mention his name. It's all I did is mention. I'd bristle. One day, after several weeks, I drove through the town where he lived. It was drizzling rain, kind of a miserable day that day. He and his three sons were standing out on the porch of their business. As I drove by on that drizzly day, all of a sudden, as I looked to him, God opened my eyes. And I began to weep. I said, oh God, be with BJ and his family. I got to weeping so hard that I could hardly see to drive. You know why I got the burden? Because I had become faithful to pray for somebody I didn't like, but God loved him. I never forget it. Some weeks later, I'd been in Illinois in a revival meeting, drove back home. When I got home that day, that afternoon, I went to the post office to pick up my mail. And as I was sorting through the mail, there was a letter from BJ. And I thought, oh, Lord, what's he going to do now? What in the world is he going to do now? I opened the letter. As I opened it up, I looked down. He said, Dear Reverend Halford, I'm in jail. And he told me where he was at, over 60. I had driven 200 miles a day on glaze of ice. And he was in jail 60 miles away from there. I looked at the letter. He said, Dear Reverend Halford, he said, I'm in jail. And he said, I'd like for you to come and pray with me. Would you come? I began to weep. I said, God, if you'll help me, I'll go right now. I'll never forget it. As I got on the road again, it was slick. But I drove up in front of the jailhouse. And as I got in the courthouse, the jailer took me downstairs. There stood old BJ. He was big enough to go bear hunting with Switch. Big man. He had knife cut. He had scars on his face where he had been in knife fights. He was mean. But I'll never forget, the jailer opened the door and said, "You may go in." Old BJ came over and gave me a bear hug. He said, "Reverend, you'll never know how glad I am to see you today." He said, "I'd like for you to tell me how to get saved." I had the privilege of getting down that jailhouse floor, and he put his arm around me. I didn't have my arm. He had his arm around me and begging God to save him, forgive him of his sin. And when I got up off her knees, he was my brother. How do you get your name known in hell? You got to get saved. You got to get baptized. Join the church. Study the Word of God. And now you're equipped to do battle. If you don't know the Word of God, you have no idea how to fight the battle. But when you get the Word of God in you, God said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you." I want to tell you something, friends. It's time that we begin to make our names known in hell. And we can only do it when we become obedient to the Word of God and the will of God for our life. Let's pray.